Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dr. Wilson by Clara Ann Simons. Narrated by Crystal Hammond. Chapter 1. Sienna. I won't plead guilty, I protest, crossing my arms over my chest. For as long as I can remember, my parents have tried to control every aspect of my life, and I'm sick of it. Being the black sheep of the family only brings me problems. I am nothing like my parents want me to be. No matter how hard I try, I'll never fit their ideal daughter.
You'll do as I say,
my father orders, glancing at his lawyer for support.
Sienna, pleading guilty is just a formality, the lawyer explains. It will help you get out of this ordeal as soon as possible. I've already arranged for you to get off with a fine and 3 months of community service. Believe me, you do not want to go to trial, and I can assure you that you won't get a better deal than this, he adds, arching his bushy eyebrows.
I rub my hand across the bridge of my nose before letting out a loud snort of disapproval as my eyes lock on the horizon. I don't mind doing community service. In fact, I'd like to do it regularly, helping people in need. I can't keep failing courses in medical school just because my dad insists I should get my degree. It doesn't make any sense. I will never run the family business. I have no interest in it and don't think I'm suited for it. I'm already pretty positive that my previous degree in business administration and the medical degree I am taking now will be useless to me. Okay, fine. I squint and shake my head in desperation. My attitude brings a smile of triumph to both my father and his lawyer. Both men stare at me, their faces beaming with confidence. They think they have figured me out. It's the first time I've been in a courtroom, and I have to admit, it's pretty impressive. Even though I know that my lawyer and the prosecutor have already reached an agreement, my hands are shaking. My heart pounds so hard that my lawyer can probably hear it from where he sits.
Case number 215, State of California v. Miss Sienna Collins. The Honorable Judge McGrath presiding,
announces a bailiff, looking at me with a solemn expression as my attorney motions for me to rise from my seat. John McGrath rolls his eyes and gives me a disapproving look when he sees me sitting on the dock. We've met at a few of the charity events my family organizes to clean up our reputation, and he knows exactly who I am. It may not even be entirely ethical for him to judge my case. The room remains in the most utter silence. A deafening, unnerving silence. One that allows you to clearly hear the person next to you breathing, or even the murmur of conversations outside the room. After reluctantly checking some papers in front of him, Judge McGrath looks up and locks his gaze on me, his eyes piercing the silence. The judge tilts his head to the side and asks,
"Does the defendant understand the charges against her?"
"Yes," I answer with a barely audible sigh.
"How does the defendant plead?"
For a fraction of a second, I am about to answer, "I plead not guilty." I have done nothing wrong. And yet, I am accused of a crime I didn't commit. Still, my lawyer gives me a murderous look, reminding me that I must do something I would rather not do.
"Guilty, Your Honor,"
I reply angrily, biting my lower lip until I taste my own blood.
The judge announces, I will accept the terms of the agreement as presented by the prosecuting and defending attorneys. As such, I hereby sentence the defendant to a $5,000 fine and 3 months of community service. The defendant is warned that failure to comply with the sentence imposed by this court will result in imprisonment, announces Judge McGrath in a voice that echoes throughout the courtroom. These 3 months must be served at Collins Memorial Hospital in the city of Los Angeles.
His words make my heart stop. My father's a bastard. I can't believe he's doing this to me. Your Honor, I interrupt, even though I know I am not authorized to speak. Judge McGrath looks at me with surprise, and then he glances at the lawyer my father has hired. He probably thinks community service at my family's hospital is a good idea, and he has almost certainly discussed it with my father. But I swore I would never set foot in that fucking hospital, no matter how much my grandfather had founded it. With all due respect, Your Honor, I request that I be allowed to perform community service with a different organization. I don't care where I serve, anywhere but Collins Memorial Hospital.
Miss Collins, Judge McGrath says, looking at me curiously over his glasses. I have already decided, and I remind you that failure to comply with the sentence imposed by this court would mean your imprisonment. I hope that we won't have to resort to such extremes. Now, if you will excuse us, I have other cases to try besides yours. His voice drips with disdain.
My chest sinks. I look towards the back benches where my father sits. He knows he has won this battle, and a big smile plays on his lips. If looks could kill, he would be writhing in pain on the floor. I may have also given him an obscene gesture with my middle finger, but I am too overwhelmed by the sentence I just heard to think clearly. In the end, my father succeeded. He's not used to losing. He does everything right. Everything except being a good father. That has never been his thing. Maybe my grandfather was like him, and that's why he behaves this way. He's always believed money can replace love. He and all of his friends. Half of my classmates at the prep school where I studied are as screwed up as I am. We count on sessions with a psychiatrist and alcohol to get us through the day. Chapter 2. Sophia.
That's what you get for dating guys,
Arya teases with her usual lack of tact. No matter how often I tell her that it has nothing to do with that, she won't drop the subject. Even Laura and Daniela take my side. The problem is me, not my partners, I admit. My relationships don't last because I'm always at the hospital, and my patients take a lot out of me. Paul was a great guy. He just couldn't take my shifts and mood anymore. And as I listen to myself, I realize once again that change is necessary in my life if I want my relationships to work one day. The issue is no longer the long hours I spend at the hospital. Arya does the same number of hours or even more. Yet after 2 years married to Patricia, their relationship is just as good as it was the first day. The main stumbling block is how much my patients affect me, especially children. I am a very empathetic person, and I suffer continuous ups and downs depending on their evolution. Every time I discharge a cancer-free patient, I spend several days floating on clouds, full of happiness. On the other hand, If I lose one of them, I get depressed and fall into an abyss of despair. I thought that I would get used to the pain with time, so it wouldn't affect me so much. Instead, at 36, it impacts me as much as the first day. My colleagues look at me in surprise. I'm seriously considering changing my specialty, I announce.
You are one of the best oncologists I know, Sophia, Daniela McKenna assures me as she looks over her glasses.
I have discussed this issue with her many times. After all, Daniela has the most experience dealing with patient complications. For many years, she performed the most complex cardiac surgeries in the country, and she survived a very aggressive cancer almost 4 years ago. Overcoming that illness changed her life. She is now much happier working fewer hours, and no longer obsessively chasing success and prestige.
Of course, she is so in love with Laura that it makes it easier. 3 weeks ago, we were invited to dinner at their home. Seeing the two of them together in a relaxed atmosphere with their young daughter and enjoying a quiet meal was enough to melt even Arya's hard heart. Arya protests with her mouth full after biting into her sandwich.
You are such a moron, she says. How are you going to change your specialty? What you need is a girlfriend, she jokes.
I chuckle. She has tried to introduce me to potential girlfriends more times than I can remember, not caring that I'm totally straight.
How are the interns this year?
Laura asks when she realizes I'm getting uncomfortable.
Fucking disaster, as usual,
complains Arya.
Don't you remember when you were one of them?
Daniela asks.
There's no way I was so lost. It's as if they haven't gone through med school, insists the surgeon.
Gabriella, the head surgical nurse, clears her throat.
You were unbearable, Arya, she says. You didn't listen to anyone, and on top of it, you tried to pick up anyone with boobs.
I didn't meet her in those years. Still, I can imagine a much younger Arya arguing with the most expert surgeons and flirting with the rest of the female interns. I can tell by their smiles that the whole table is thinking about the same thing.
You fucking assholes!
Arya protests, squinting her eyes. I nod my head. My interns aren't bad, I say. They're very eager to learn. What struck me as strange was that the medical director took me aside and told me that tomorrow a girl who's still in medical school will be joining us. He says it's just a temporary thing. Did you ever have a similar experience?
If she didn't finish med school, she's not allowed to touch any patients,
Daniela says, confused.
Are you going to supervise her?
Yes, that's what I thought. The girl won't be of any use to me if she can't interact with the patients. She'll be a burden, I complain. Indignation flashes across Arya's face.
Andrew is an asshole, she says. She's probably some friend's daughter, a bitch with some good connections.
I shrug at my friend's intensity and glance at Laura, who is shaking her head.
She's always been this way,
Laura jokes, shrugging her shoulders and pointing her chin at the surgeon.
But we love her anyway.
The truth is that deep down, Arya has a heart of gold. If you don't know her, she seems like a punk. She grew up in one of the worst neighborhoods in Los Angeles and has fought hard to become the chief of surgery at our hospital. Once you earn her trust, though, She's a great friend. The kind of friend you can always count on. The kind that will stand by your side, no matter what happens. The kind that will do anything for you. Laura is surprised. They didn't give you any explanation? No. Andrew only told me that it would be something temporary and wasn't negotiable. Arya is probably right. She's most likely the daughter of a good friend who will be in the last year of med school, and they want her to get a feel for what hospital work is like, I admit. Still, they shouldn't do that until she completes the degree, insists Daniela, who seems to be less in agreement with the news than I am. Arya interrupts my thoughts before I can fully come to terms with them.
Look at it this way, she offers. If she doesn't work for the hospital, you can hook up with her. You don't break any of those useless rules the HR people impose on us, she adds, opening her hands.
If your wife listens to you, you'll be sleeping on the couch today.
Patricia knows I'm just joking,
Arya admits with a teenage smile.
I only have eyes for her.
Arya used to be a party girl, but since she met her wife, she's an entirely different person. Gone is the Arya who used to close the trendy Los Angeles nightclubs. Well, sometimes she still does, but less so now. Chapter 3 Sienna.
You must learn what real sadness means.
Those were my father's words when I asked him why I should do the 3 months of community service in the oncology ward. I'm going to hate working at this damn hospital, but at least I thought I'd rotate between departments. That way I could learn something of value, and I wouldn't give them the opportunity to hate me any more than necessary. As soon as the elevator doors open, I take a deep breath to calm my nerves. I pause for a few seconds to look around. Even though I'm entering the same hospital, it seems an entirely different world. The oncology unit is quieter, and the staff seems to whisper. Only the sound of the monitors and the thud of the nurse's shoes on the floor break the silence. It looks like a frozen chamber with white walls, cold and sterile. Even the lights are dull, numbing, devoid of all color. The smell is strange, like a constant reminder that death dwells here.
Good morning. I'm Sienna Collins. I was asked to introduce myself to the head nurse.
I greet politely, trying to put on a pleasant face, even if I have no desire to be here. The nurse glances away from her computer monitor for a few moments and narrows her eyes at me. She turns back to her computer and says,
"You're late. The rest of the interns started an hour ago."
"I'm not an intern. The medical director told me to report here and talk to the head oncology nurse," I explain, lowering my voice. The nurse closes her eyes, shakes her head, and grimaces at my presence. She calls another nurse across the room who is a little older than her.
"Do you know anything about this?"
She points at me from behind her counter with her chin, as if I were no more than an ugly object that had been placed there. I introduce myself again to the new nurse.
"Hello, my name is Sienna Collins, and I was asked to come here..."
Yeah,
Christina left me a note. I have to find you something to do until she comes, and you can't interact with any patients or anything like that, right?"
"I guess so," I whisper with a shrug.
Rena's two coffees, one espresso, and one with milk. And make it quick, because we don't have all day. One of the nurses is on sick leave, and those bastards in management didn't even bother to replace her. Come on, hurry up, pretty face. What are you waiting for?
Demands the nurse in a very rude way. This woman is either a real dick, or doesn't know who my father is. It's not the first time I've had to spend some time at one of my family businesses, and I resent being treated like a princess. Still, there should be a middle ground. I want to be treated like an average person, and this nurse seems a bit excessive. I nod. I would rather not start an argument on my first day, and I head to the cafeteria to get the two coffees. I'm almost glad Andrew didn't warn the nurses that this hospital was founded by my grandfather and still belongs to my family. For once, I'd like to be a regular person, or at least someone who doesn't get noticed so often. I'd rather earn respect by myself and get rid of the spoiled brat reputation that has haunted me for as long as I can remember. As I walk back to the oncology ward with the two steaming coffees in my hands, I mull over the words of the rude nurse who had attended me. The bastards in management didn't bother to put anyone in to cover the sick leave. Typical of my father's corporation. The bottom line is essential, not the employees or the patients. I shake my head in disgust and stride forward as soon as the elevator door opens until I... Fuck! Screams a woman in a white coat as the two coffees land on top of her. I cover my mouth with my trembling hands, observing the mess. The large brown stain that spreads over the pristine white of the robe attests to my clumsiness. I was distracted, thinking about how my father could be such a bastard, and I bathed the poor woman in coffee. I'm sorry, I say. I'm so sorry. I almost want to cry. This is the last thing I needed to start off my hospital stay on the wrong foot. I just hope I never see this doctor again. It's all right, the doctor murmurs to me. It was just an accident. At least she didn't yell at me. I'm sorry. I was a little distracted and in a hurry. I apologize again. With a quick glance, I read the plastic name tag on the gown and address her. Dr. Wilson, I can leave you my phone number and you can pass on any laundry expenses. I assure her, still trembling and forcing myself to breathe. The doctor pauses and stares at me. She has beautiful eyes and an easy smile that reveals confidence. And what a smile! If it weren't for the circumstances, I'd ask if she'd want to go on a date right now. I'm sorry, I whisper, feeling a bit embarrassed. Not a big deal, she replies, before I return to the cafeteria, searching for two new coffees. It's about time, the nurse who ordered the drinks protests. I'm sorry, it's just that when I was coming here, I didn't ask for an explanation, she interrupts even more rudely than before. Christina has not come yet. She is still with the interns. Stay in that room over there, another nurse says, pointing to a small space next to their work area. And try not to disturb anyone. Is there anything I can do to help you? I ask, eager to find any way to make myself useful. You can help out by not bothering us, the nurse insists. She points to the small break room. We have enough work to do because of the assholes at the hospital management, so please go in there and let us do our job. I raise my hands to indicate that I don't want to argue, and go into the break room to wait for the head nurse to arrive. As I sit in one of the chairs,
I am amazed at this woman's behavior. I realize she is stressed about all the work she has to do, but that's no reason to treat me that way. I am the first one who doesn't want to be here. What a start, Sienna. Two of the nurses hate me for no reason at all. Once they find out who I am, they'll hate me even more. To make matters worse, I accidentally spilled 2 coffees on one of the doctors. I hate being in this fucking place. A different employee walks over after half an hour.
Christina, a girl called Sienna Collins is waiting for you in the break room.
I hear.
Why didn't you tell her to wait in the cafeteria?
Asks the one I assume is the head nurse.
We sent her to the cafeteria to get 2 coffees,
protests the other nurse,
and she brought them to us late and badly.
Did you ask her to bring you 2 coffees?
The head nurse asks. Her voice is somewhere between astonishment and dread.
Yes, and she brought them late and badly.
Suddenly, there is an awkward silence, and I hear the conversation again, this time in whispers.
The Collins name means nothing to you,
sighs the head nurse.
Her last name is the same as this hospital,
the annoyed nurse replies.
Yeah, her last name is the same as this hospital because her grandfather founded it and because her father owns it.
The head nurse mumbles in an attempt to make sure no one else hears her.
And you sent her out for coffees.
Oh, shit, mutters one of the nurses.
Don't leave her here with us, please, Christina, pleads the other.
Yeah, send her to Dr. Wilson. She can handle it. She has a lot of patients,
one of them suggests.
Good idea,
concludes the head nurse, calling Dr. Wilson and telling her I will be in her office in 10 minutes. And when I hear that name, my soul becomes heavy in my chest. It can't be the same doctor. It's certainly possible that several people named Dr. Wilson work at this hospital. It's a pretty common name, after all. Please don't let her be the same Dr. Wilson I just bathed in coffee.
Chapter 4. Sophia. Even though I changed my clothes, a whiff of coffee still permeates my skin. I've worked at this hospital for 8 years, and I take the route from the oncology ward to the cafeteria and back several times a day. That's several thousand times since I've been here, and it's the first time I've had 2 coffees dumped on me. I was lucky the drinks landed on my clothes, not my skin, because they were boiling hot. I've often told Luca that he doesn't need to make the coffees so hot. The funny thing is that I can't stop thinking about the girl in the elevator. She's new here. I've never seen her in the hospital before. At first, I thought she might be one of the recent interns. They have flooded the facility with the new generation these days, and they seem lost. However, I don't think any doctors would order an intern to bring them a coffee. That would be very rude. I should be mad at her, but the terrified look on her face as she spilled the coffee on my clothes really got to me. She seemed to be extremely sorry. I'd like to find out where that girl came from.
Hi, Chris,
I answer as I pick up the phone.
Good morning, Dr. Wilson,
the head oncology nurse says.
I'm going to send Sienna Collins to your office. I think Andrew already told you she was coming.
My stomach cringes when I hear her words. I am so busy that I didn't even remember being told I would have some sort of intern in my department.
An exceptional case, the hospital director said. Sienna Collins? I asked, fearful of the answer.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?